And welcome into the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show. This show is brought to you by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Welcome in Carla Smith, Executive Director for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. And as we always do, we need to keep reminding for a little while that your group or your organization had a name prior to this. What is it?
That's correct. We used to be Reno County Communities That Care. We're now Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. We're proud of the fact that we rise up to the occasion to do prevention with youth and kids that are making choices and helping them make good choices.
So at the core of the purpose of the actual program itself, Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, is essentially to have kids never even start smoking, drinking, using as what I now know is called weed.
Right.
Any illegal drug. I mean, basically anything that's bad for them. And Dave Sotelo is laughing. And the only reason I'm calling it weed when I was growing up, it was called pot or marijuana.
Right,
is
right.
Dave, Resource Officer Fine, said, nope, the kids are calling it weed. Is that right?
Right, that's right.
Dave Sotelo.
They're calling it a lot of things.
Yeah, well, and you work directly with these kids. Dave Sotelo is the one of the program coordinators for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. So, Carla, so what I said basically is the core of the whole program.
Right, exactly. We want to do things, put things in place that are going to help kids to make good choices, which means never starting, avoiding drugs, alcohol, vaping, any of those things that are going to get them in trouble, and especially if they're going to have long-term effects, health effects, legal effects. We definitely don't want to see that happen, and we know kids are smarter than that, and so we want to help parents to help them stay on the good side.
Dave, you and Carla works directly with the kids as well, but you have a different capacity with the group. So you're working directly with these kids. So I know this is a stupid question. I'm going to ask it anyway. Why not just let the kids find out for themselves? I mean, we all had to grow up. We all were tempted. We all probably did something we shouldn't do, and we were stupid. Why the program? Why do we need you?
And I think that question comes often when we talk prevention. You know, kids are exploring. Kids are trying to figure out on themselves. And I think there are certain things that there's natural risk or healthy risk taking that kids can partake on. And I think a healthy risk taking activities, parents can encourage that. But as far as substance abuse, we know the data shows us that kids, the earlier a student, a kid, a child is likely to start, the more likely they are to develop a substance abuse disorder, an addiction. And so that's why we want to make sure that kids are not using at an early age, because the earlier they're using, the earlier the easier it is for them to develop a substance abuse disorder or an addiction.
So you're talking developing habits.
Right, correct, exactly. And so you can't tell your kid, okay, try something that you've never done before, or explore for yourself, try a sport, try an activity, go hang out with your friends, do something. But there's some healthiness to that, because I think it's important for kids to learn how to take risks in their life. But when it comes to substance abuse, letting them find out for themselves can actually be very damaging to their futures, not only because it's likely to start a substance abuse disorder or an addiction, but also because their brain at that point is still developing. And so we don't want to stop the developing of the brain. We want to encourage them to go and to make sure that they're taking everything in school, and they're becoming responsible adults. And if we have substance abuse usage at an early age, we're damaging the parts of the brain that make decisions for us, which is still developing at that point. We're damaging the part of the brain that's helping them take healthy risks in their life. So there's many reasons, but I think those are the two important ones. Why don't we let kids find out on their own? Well, because we're setting them up for failure, essentially. And so we have to come up with ways to help them stay away from substance abuse.
Well, that's well said. And Carla, when I was growing up, and I hope I'm not remembering this wrong, but I know it was similar to this. Some friends of mine got caught smoking cigarettes. And I think the parents said, well, you like that so much, you're going to smoke the whole pack.
I've heard of that.
And I'm not sure they made him smoke 20 cigarettes, but I know that they made him smoke some more and they puked their guts out.
Gross.
Now, I don't know exactly how that affected them the rest of their lives, but I'm pretty sure they didn't smoke again for a while.
Well, I
that
hope
maybe not being the best approach, by the way.
I hope they didn't smoke again for a long time, maybe forever. But when we were kids, it was a little different. We weren't as knowledgeable. We didn't have as much evidence. We didn't have all of the health information. We sure didn't know about brain development at that time. So we didn't, our parents didn't know that at all. And they wouldn't have any way of knowing the things that parents know today.
Okay. In saying that, so in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, early 70s, I mean, you know, people were promoting smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
Then all the studies were done, and they were done, I think, in the 60s or 50s, and realized, you know, it causes cancer, it causes COPD, all these bad things. So we should be smarter than that than we were back then with vaping.
Yes.
Because already 50 people have died because of these vaping products. I don't know how many are children or how many are adults, but come on, people. We know that vaping is not good for you, regardless of what the marketing right. tells us. It's not cool.
Right, exactly. People who first started using it, at least the people that I visited with, and we did a lot of environmental studies. We did talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people contacted us as well to say that they felt like it was healthier for them than smoking. I don't know that they had all the facts at that time, and we certainly don't have all the facts now.
Right.
As time goes on, we'll find out more and more effects, and I don't think they're going to be good effects. I mean, we're already seeing, like you said, death, sickness, people who are addicted at a super young age, kids that are using in school. It's distracting. It's causing a lot of them to be sent home, suspended. That's not helping their careers. That's not helping their studies. There's a lot of reasons that it's not healthy, but it's especially not healthy for kids, and not just the health reasons. There's other reasons.
Well, like, psychological reasons.
Right.
And Dave, when these manufacturers are making these things be disguised, you know, to look like all the zip drives and other things to hide from teachers and school administration. Well, come on. I mean, that's kind of a signal right there.
Right. I mean, I think we have to think about if the marketing is honest and they're selling a product, then go ahead and use it. But they are targeting kids because we know that the number of people who are smoking has decreased over the last few decades. And that's a huge victory in prevention. That's a huge victory.
I'll make a comment on that. And in the 60s and 70s, it was over 50%. And I think even over 60% at some time. And it's down to underage kids. It's under 7% now. It's
so
like
7% kids today are smoking.
So that's good news.
It's a great victory. And so I think that the tobacco industry sat down, look at these numbers and says, we're going to be out of business here in the next few years, and we're not going to be making as much money. So how do we, you know, get kids to smoke? Okay, let's put some flavors in there that taste like Fruit Loops, that tastes like mango, that tastes like pineapple. And let's say that these products are going to be a lot healthier for the kids, that it's going to be an alternative to smoking, that it's not going to cause any damage to your lungs. And let's sell it to people. But we have to make sure that we develop the next generation of smokers. That's essentially what the...
It's self-preservation for those companies.
Right, exactly. Sure. That's essentially what these companies were doing. And so you target the kids. You go after them with all these products that are out there. And then now we're seeing the results. What's happening when we put a product that we don't know anything about?
So the little pod, and I know we've mentioned this every show, how much... nicotine does one of those pods have? It's an incredible amount when you compare it to a whole pack of cigarettes. One pod.
Right, exactly. One pod is the same as a whole pack of cigarettes. And if a person was smoking that like you would smoke a pack of cigarettes, that would be over a period of time, where a kid who might be using it just because they think it's cool could overdose on nicotine really quickly. And sadly, we're finding a lot of them with THC in them as well. So there's not... I don't know what's more popular, but I know that a lot of them have other substances that are illegal and hard to find and hard to identify.
You are listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. We're visiting with Carla Smith, the executive director, along with Dave Sotelo, who is program coordinator. And Dave, I think are there two other coordinators or three more?
That's right. So we have Lisa Orson, who is a program coordinator. She takes care of all of our youth mentoring in the schools, and then Angie Mahoney. She takes care of our strengthening families and other programs that we have.
And you do what?
And I work with the youth. So I work with our kiddos that we have in the high school and in the middle school. We have an active group of students who are working on prevention with us.
And you graduated from Hutch High really not that long ago. It probably seemed longer ago to you, but you're not that much removed from high school.
That's right. I'm not that old.
not like Carla.
Not like
right?
you. Yeah.
What you're saying.
I'm not that old. I graduated in 2015. Actually, I was a member of Communities That Care. I remember my eighth grade year. There was a group of students who were part of this group. And I had just moved to the United States, was learning the language. And I remember this group of students who were involved in Rice Sabrina, what's now. And I thought, you know, those are good kids. Those are kids that I want to be around. And so I made the decision my freshman year to join Communities That Care because I wanted to be around that group of leaders who are, some of them are teaching in our Hutchinson Public Schools now, Dylan Graves, Maddie Page. And she's married now, but all this group of students who were incredibly involved, who stood for something bigger than themselves, and I got involved and I fell in love with this opportunity to be involved in my community.
Carla, I'm not sure you can get a better endorsement than that.
I know. He's awesome. We are glad to have him back. It's like having him back home. And he did have a lot of opportunities when he was in high school. And I believe he'll continue to have a lot more opportunities now that he's here. And the community is fortunate to have him back.
So I keep taking for granted that, you know, everybody knows the program by now, but that's still not true. Okay. So you serve, is it just Reno County or just the Hutchinson schools or who do you reach and how do kids get involved?
We do serve all of Reno County in some ways. We do not have leadership groups in all of the schools yet, but that is definitely something I'd like to see happen in the next few years.
Okay, so if somebody listening right now, maybe they're in Nickerson or, I mean, just pick your school district. Well, and they want to start something. How do they do that?
Well, they need to give us a call and tell us what resources they have available. Let's network and work on this together. We don't have enough people and hours to get every place, so we would have to have some outreach people to help us out in other areas.
What about maybe some students listening this morning? What if they're going to Haven High School or Pretty Prairie, and they think, well, we need something like this. I see some friends of mine that are smoking weed or, I mean, doing whatever they're doing, and they want to get involved. Dave, what would you tell those students?
Yeah, so we have resources for all students in Reno County. And so if anyone wants to be involved, we can definitely help them out figuring out what the need is there for their specific school and give them some resources as far as some training, some data, some information that we have available, some tools that actually have worked in prevention, give that to them, maybe talk to their school to see if any teacher or administrator wants to be involved with their club and help them out with pretty much just being a resource for them.
Well, for people listening, if you're a student out there listening right now and you don't think something can happen, well, Carla and Dave, you both know that there's some student leadership groups. Obviously, they need the support of the administration of whatever district they're in to do it in school. But I'm telling you, our kids can move mountains. They changed state law at the fairgrounds.
That's right.
They've done community projects. And, yep. And why don't you two talk about the power that these kids have?
Well, I think that we have seen them get really passionate about things. And one of the things that they're passionate about this year is the Juuls, the vaping, and they want to see changes. And I think that's really interesting because they're looking out for their fellow classmates. They're looking out for each other, and they just want to make a difference. In the past, they have dealt a little bit with vapes. When they first came around, people could use them in any public building because they weren't cigarettes. And so the kids did say, you know, I don't want to be standing in line next to somebody at Burger King and get, you know, all this whatever cloud blown in my face. So why can we change that? And they did.
It is an unusually large, obnoxious vapor cloud. Dave, I know when I'm driving down Main Street, you see this big puff of smoke coming out of somebody's window. You're like, are they on fire? So I assume that's vaping, right?
Yes, I'm guessing so, that a lot of folks out there are using that, and a lot of kids are using that, those vape pens. And I know, too, that now there are devices which don't have the vape that's coming. And so that's when it gets difficult in the schools, kids have these tools or these devices that they can take in. They look like a flash drive. They look like a whatever, not a vape pen. And they also don't have the smell, don't have the vapor. So
it's just delivering nicotine.
Yeah, exactly.
Or THC or whatever else.
Still in vapor, right. But it's not. You're not blowing out the vape.
Well, now this cause is also getting help from some retailers. There are quite a few retailers that have actually said, we're not carrying that stuff anymore. And I know we brought this up pretty much every show, but that 18-year-old that had to have a double lung transplant, I mean, you can't tell me there's not going to be a big lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some sure. trouble these manufacturers are going to get into.
Mm-hmm. There are. And I don't know the exact numbers, but what I understand, they set aside a lot of money for litigation before they ever start advertising because they knew they would have problems. And from what I've heard, they've gone through most of that money already. So it'll be interesting to see how it affects their businesses, whether or not they can, you know, stay on their feet when they're paying out like they're going to be paying out to people who have been affected.
So I didn't ask you for a phone number or contact information. I know you've got websites, you're on Facebook, right. You've got a phone number. Give us all that for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network.
Okay, it's riseupreno.org, and you can get to all of our social media there. Of course, Facebook is where we see all your parents, so definitely want to see them there. If you have questions that you'd like us to answer on this program, or if you just want to send us questions or ideas, don't hesitate to do that. We're up for messages. You're welcome to email us.
Well, and you'll answer on this show too.
Yes, you bet. Send us some messages and we will definitely answer on the show. We would love to do that.
Carla, what about parents out there? Maybe they want to get involved in Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, maybe not necessarily as a staff member, but if what's the opportunity for them to become involved, to literally just walk in and say, look, I've heard your show, I hear your commercials, put me to work, let me do something. Do you have a spot for them?
We do. We always have spots for volunteers. One of the biggest things that volunteers can do is to spend time with kids in the classroom. If you can go once a week and just spend an hour either reading with a kid or reading to some kindergartners or having lunch with some kids, once a week can make a difference. Once a week for an hour can make a huge difference in whether or not kids graduate from high school. So even starting at kindergarten, first grade, second grade, middle school kids need some social just interaction sometimes. So finding one of those kids that could use the support and spending an hour a week with them can make a huge difference in how successful they are.
And this is all in school. This is not correct. Like, Big Brothers, Big Sisters right. or a Boys and Girls Club. This is in the district.
Right. It's in school. And that at this point, we're only doing in USD 308, but all of the schools in 308 have that opportunity. So we do a background check with a little bit of training, just some references, make sure that everybody who's going into our schools is safe. And then we want to get you in there to build relationships. That's an important thing.
So Dave, you've been out, 4 or 5 years from high school, right?
Yes.
So it's a little more fresh in your mind than perhaps Carla and I, as we're older than you.
Right.
But for those of us who forget how bad peer pressure is, it's alive, it's well, it's out there, and I think in prior shows we've talked about who you hang around with, where you hang around with these people, what you're doing on weekends and after school. If you hook up with the wrong crowd, it's pretty easy to fall into that pattern.
That's right, and so one of the things I think is the most important thing, as you said, you're a little older, so if any of us, even myself including, went to the kids and told them, hey, don't do drugs. Kids are not going to listen,
yeah.
even to me.
Yeah, who's the old guy telling
that
them
I'm better
to do
looking
drugs?
And younger than you are?
But he's right again.
But if I have a group of students who believe in this, who have passion, who say, you know what, we don't want more students to do this, that passion is contagious just as much as the negative influences are. And so if we can encourage kids to get involved with something, with whatever it is, to get out of their rooms, to go out into the community and do something, whether that's a sport, a play, they can do art, if they want to work with a volunteer at the soup kitchen, whatever it may be that they're interested in, find something that you're passionate about. Encourage your kids to figure out by themselves, what is it that you want to do in your community? What do you want to do with your time? and get them involved in something, because as we know, that's one of the biggest protective factors for our students to prevent them from abusing any substance.
Well, I know that I bring this up every show, Carla and Dave, but the input of the parental influence, or we can say guardian influence at home, because there's a lot of different circumstances for a child's home life, but having someone there that can guide and lead by example, because we know, Dave and Carla, that there are bad examples of parents out there, and these kids are doing the very best that they can.
Sure.
And their retreat is when they get to come to school, and they probably dread going home. But if you're a parent, I wanted the two of you talk about how important the parental role is in formulating that child to be a good student, a good person, and to do the right thing.
Yeah, so absolutely. I think one of the things that we know about our youth today is that they care about what their parents think. They care about the rules that they have for their students, for their kiddos at home. And so it's really important. One of the, it's difficult to have awkward, difficult conversations with your kids, but it's so important to sit down and say, hey, what's going on at school? Or look at all this news that are happening on e-cigarettes, on vapes, all these deaths that are happening. What do you think about it? And I want you to know, once you have that conversation, what do you think about it? It's a non-judgmental conversation, right?
Or it should be.
Right. It shouldn't be judgmental. It's inviting you to give me your opinion on what you think about this. And then I'm going to say, you know what? I'm proud of you if you have the opinion of maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Or let's talk about that more. And here are my expectations for you.
What do the two of you hear? Are these conversations parents are having with their students, or are students having to bring it up to their folks, which that probably doesn't happen a lot?
I believe that our surveys show that at least half of our parents are connected and are having those conversations. I don't know, you know, if kids maybe heard the conversation once, they thought that was enough, but parents do need to keep giving them information, because if they're not getting that connection at home, they're going to be getting information somewhere. I remember my parents talking about, you know, I want to make sure that you hear it from us and not from somebody else. And that is powerful. And that's just one more protective factor, being connected to your family, being able to have that conversation with your family, being able to be connected to your community, having a purpose, being involved, all of those things that we've talked about are really ways to protect your kids from getting into trouble. And not just vaping, but also we need to look at keeping them safe from alcohol and parties, especially during the breaks. You know, this is Christmas time and there's a lot of alcohol around. Make sure you know where it's at. Know that your kids know what your expectations are. Exactly. That's important. That's how you protect them from it.
Mike, we've only got 2 minutes left. It's amazing how quickly the time goes, but you are listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show, brought to you by StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. It's a grant they've provided. Carla Smith, Executive Director, with us, along with Dave Sotelo, who's a program coordinator. So, hey, Dave and Carla, we've only got a short time. Final thoughts? You have any statistics or other contact information? What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, as we were talking about the influence that parents have on students, Reno County is doing a great job. 85% of students reported that their parents have clear rules about alcohol and drug use.
Good.
So that's a huge number. And we just want to encourage parents to continue to have those conversations with their kids and say, congratulations, you're doing a great job. And that's what makes a difference in our homes. If we have those conversations with our kids, then we're making a huge difference.
Yeah. And of course, you're working to get that to 90%, then 95 and 100.
You bet.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
Yeah. Carla, your thoughts here?
Well, it's Christmas time, and we're really glad that you're getting to spend time with your kids over the break. So enjoy that time. Make it useful. Make sure that they know that you're proud of them, and you'd be surprised they're proud of you, too.
And if Uncle whoever wants to give that 10-year-old his first sip of beer,
no.
Yeah.
Stand right up and say no. You're the parent. Even if you're the kid, say, I'm not going to do that. I know what the dangers are. Or even I can find out what the dangers are. I'm not going to drink it.
And while it may seem funny at the time at the family get together, you never know what that's going to kick off later down
the
road.
Right. Yep.
Dave, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dave Sotelo, program coordinator with Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, along with Carla Smith, Thank you for your time, Carla.
Thank you, John. And appreciate it.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. So give the contact information one more time.
RiseUpReno.org has all our contact information and social media. We'd love to see you, hear from you. Give us any comments you have or questions, and we'll be sure to answer them here.
Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank you.
Yep, you bet. All right, we'll be back here next week.